on this episode of The Jason Wright Show.
What you're going to be hearing about, and then now, you know, everywhere I'm hearing about, you know, more and more people are talking about acromantia, bacteria, and things like that. So he's right on the money, it seems.
Well, and I think to that point, I think you're in a sweet spot. You jumped in the right, because I think HMO is going to become as, it's going to be CoQ10 or whatever, you know, that we, you know, all the, I guess right now, magnesium is one of the supplements that's getting a lot of attention for their benefits. I think you are in a good space. And, you know, to your point, that's what he said, you know? And so, yeah, absolutely. Could not agree more. Good morning, Bo. Thank you so much for joining me on the Jason Wright Show, man. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jason. I'm doing very well. Hope you are too.
Absolutely, brother. So look, this is really interesting. This came about very quickly because I'm reading The Immunity Code by Joel Green, who, by the way, is going to be on the show. I believe we're going to record his interview November 7th. And I start learning all about the lining of the gut and how important it is to body fat percentage, immunity, and all these other things, which already we know that how important the gut is. But I really did a deep dive through that book. And then I found out about this thing called HMO, not Health Management Organization, but a certain carbohydrate that that mother's milk produces. And so I'm like, well, I've got to get some HMO if I'm going to go through this protocol that Joel recommends. And that's whenever I purchased my first Layer Origin product, which is the pure HMO that you guys sell. And so I was like, I've got to talk to this guy because you have such a cool background. You're a journalist, you're an entrepreneur, and obviously have a definite interest in health and wellness. So with that, Tia, kind of tell me how you go from investigative reporter, which, by the way, I saw where you've done some work here in the Lone Star State, where I am. Got to talk to one of the most fascinating Texans by way of Oklahoma, T. Boone Pickens. So that's kind of cool. He was a character for sure. But tell me kind of how this came about. What was, and then I want to talk to some of the science of what is HMO? Why is it important? Those sorts of things. But just kind of take us to how you go from journalist to now health and wellness entrepreneur.
Yeah, it's a really great question. And sometimes I wonder if people are wondering about that, you know, of how did this journalist end up in this position? And by the way, about Joel Green, you know, I have his book right here, The Immunity Code.
So awesome.
Amazing book. I mean, I've read it now once and, you know, definitely want to go back through and take some notes. And, you know, even working for a company that you know, produces HMO, I still, you know, obviously learned a ton. And he is just a amazing resource and tons of just, you know, kind of reframes the way you think in many ways about your own health and longevity and
absolutely
things of that nature. And he's so right. I mean, he always kind of pats himself on the back a little bit, but in a humble way and says, look, you know, this is kind of 10 years ahead of what you're going to be hearing about. And then now, you know, everywhere I'm hearing about, you know, more and more people are talking about acromantia, bacteria, and things like that. So he's right on the money, it seems.
Well, and I think to that point, I think you're in a sweet spot. You jumped in the right, because I think HMO is going to become as, it's going to be CoQ10 or whatever, you know, that we, you know, all the, I guess right now, magnesium is one of the supplements that's getting a lot of attention for their benefits. I think you are in a good space. And, you know, to your point, that's what he said, you know? And so, yeah, absolutely. Could not agree more.
Yeah. So I'll get back to your question. You know, how did a investigative reporter, you know, become marketing director, you know, for a nutrition startup? And yeah, I mean, it's kind of a long story, but basically, yes, I did, you know, originally set out to become a, you know, on-air television news anchor and news reporter. And so I'm from Pennsylvania originally and went to Penn State University and majored in that broadcast journalism. So I made my way down to West Texas, to Odessa, Texas, and Midland, Texas area in 2008 and started my TV news reporting and anchoring career there. And I was there for about 3.5 years and, you know, did pretty well. You know, now at that time, like a lot of young people, you know, that was pre-Instagram and pre a lot of the social media that we have today, where, you know, now you have these social media influencers, you know, with a million followers and, you know, this whole category sort of. But at that time, you know, like a lot of young people in their early 20s, I was pretty into fitness, you know, and ran my first half marathon and first marathon down there in Texas and, you know, got into the weight room and everything like that. You know, so I had my protein powder, I had my pre-workout, I had my, you know, fish oil, just kind of the basics really. But didn't really, you know a lot of the deep things about fitness and nutrition. In fact, you know, I didn't really understand that a proper probiotic or the, you know, how much, a probiotic could help you, you know, even with weight loss or managing your weight, things of that nature. So that was 2008, long time ago. But, yeah, so you fast forward, you know, I continued my journalism career up in Connecticut, for the Fox affiliate there. And then in, back in my hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for, the ABC affiliate. And then it was in 2019 that I kind of segued out of journalism for a couple of reasons. And one of those was just that I was becoming a little bit disillusioned with the business in some ways. You know, the stories that I liked to cover, I wasn't getting to cover as much. The things that were more deep dives into, you know, things that were really fascinating. And it was a lot more of just kind of the everyday, like the shootings, the murders, the fires, you know, that stuff, which didn't really, you know, set me on fire in terms of my interest level. And you know, the industry is losing a lot of money. I mean, people are watching less local news and you know, there's a lot less respect in that business than there once was. And so I would also find myself in my free time listening to podcasts like yours, you know, about personal development and growth and business and entrepreneurship. And, you know, was a big fan of like the Tim Ferriss podcast and things like that. And so I kind of thought to myself, like, you know, there was always this itch to try something else, you know, and, you know, we only have one life, right? And, you know, see if there's a way that maybe I could transition to something else, even though I was, you know, very good at news reporting and anchoring. This coincided with some personal life stuff where my then fiance was, you know, taking a job in kind of the middle of nowhere, Ithaca, New York, central New York as a university professor. And she was going to be doing 1 year in the Middle East, like a postdoctoral fellowship. And anyway, so I decided to kind of transition out of news and try some other things. And so I got into media relations, marketing, public relations, and did that for about 2.5 years. And then when we landed in right outside of Cornell University in New York, I was lucky enough to meet the entrepreneurs, really the scientists and entrepreneurs who were starting Layer Origin Nutrition. And it kind of seemed like the perfect fit. You know, they were looking for someone who could kind of be the face of the company, who had media experience, on-camera experience, writing, content creation, things of that nature, marketing. And so I just kind of dove right in and, you know, the rest has been history.
Very cool. You know, it's funny. There's two, almost really close associations that you and I have. So my youngest daughter, who's a student at the University of Colorado, actually, considered Penn State and Cornell. And
okay,
you talk about middle of nowhere. I was like, sweetheart, I know you want to go somewhere where it's cold, but Ithaca, New York is really cold and it's wet. She has a lot of relatives that, that went to Cornell. Actually, there's some like arboretum or bird watching trail or something named after one of her aunts at Cornell. And that's the only thing she knew about Cornell. I'm like, okay, sweetie, you need to be a little more disciplined in your decision-making, not just because you had some aunt that has a plaque on a bird trail at Cornell. But anyway, so, well, it's weird because that's very similar to my story and how this show has evolved. It started out much more of a business entrepreneurship focus, which it still is. That's why your story's like right in my wheelhouse because it goes entrepreneurship, health and wellness. And then of course we both got the journalism background, you actually being a successful Edward R. Murrow award-winning journalist. I just being a journalist in my own mind, you know, so it's cool that you, how you let your passion kind of lead you into this. And that's kind of why, where this show has taken a turn is where I now focus primarily on health, wellness. And, you know, the motto is improve always in all ways. And also I think it's really interesting that, okay, so Stephen Kotler started out as a journalist, and now he's kind of like the guru of flow and that sort of mindfulness. Then you got James Nestor and his work with breath, that an amazing book. You know, and now you're doing the same thing. I think that journalists are naturally curious, and I think that, you know, you've kind of found that. And so in your research, so you match up with these guys, but so yeah, you're already kind of a health guy, you know, personally. And you had the tools to help this company, but did you know what HMO was? Because, and I know you guys have other products, but that's kind of like, that's a kind of a cool niche right now. How did it resonate with you whenever you found out about the company and you're like, okay, I can really get into this. What did that look like?
Yeah, that's a great, another great question. So, you know, you're looking at like the very, very beginning of 2020. And so I was like still living in Pennsylvania and, you know, making the move up here and meet these scientists. And, you know, one of the things they liked as well, you know, a value add with me was that, I actually was a big supplement guy, you know, so I am someone who likes kind of, you know, low level, like biohacking and things like that. And, you know, already had some of this stuff in my cabinets at home. And, you know, sort of the irony sometimes that people don't think about is like, not always, you know, especially when you have a product that's like truly scientist developed. Well, scientists themselves sometimes aren't, you know, big fitness gurus or the people right. who would, you know, pop a bunch of supplements. And so they enjoyed that I might be able to kind of actually have empathy for the consumer, you know, and for the people who might want to buy our products versus themselves who, I mean, you know, they take, you know, vitamin C or, you know, multi, but they're not really like deep into that, you know, kind of biohacking world the same way that like a consumer facing, exactly. if you know what I mean. You know, Absolutely. They are research wise, but not like in that consumer mentality.
Right.
So, yeah, sorry, I'm kind of forgetting what the question was, but,
no, just how did, whenever you hear what they're actually producing again, they're
oh, right.
doing the research, they're figuring out these things that work, but you're actually somebody that wants to execute on it. When did you go, oh my gosh, this is kind of like the best of both worlds?
Yeah, for sure. So, what was kind of funny about it is that the flagship product at the time was something that they developed a patent on, which, you know, if you're familiar with that process, takes quite a while, you know, and you have to have your, I's dotted and your T's crossed and really have, you know, your stuff lined up. And so they had actually been awarded a patent from the US government on, a carb blocker, you know, sort of like a keto diet sort of product using, like Phaseolus vulgaris beans. And sort of the traditional problem with like a white kidney bean carb blocker is it has these lectins in it that cause, you know, sort of like GI problems. And they were able to sort of like isolate out the lectins and, you know, felt like it could be revolutionary. But that market is extremely saturated, you know, the keto diet market. And if you read the immunity code, Joel Green actually kind of questions whether the keto diet is even the way to go. Right. So that being said, they told me that they had kind of this like back burner project, you know, that was HMO and I had not heard of it, which really floored me because I was like, I've heard about a lot of supplements and I might not know about them, you know, exactly what they do, but I've pretty much heard about most of this stuff.
Yep.
And I think actually a parallel is that that's what was so illuminating about the immunity code for so many of us was that, you know, you open this up and he's talking about Fucoidin. Right. I had not heard of that, you know, right. the Japanese seaweed,
right.
you know, product. So things like that, you know, that Joel Green brings about. But yeah, so I had not heard of HMO, to be completely honest with you, at the time when they were kind of scouting me to join the company. Excuse me. But the first time I heard about it, I thought, oh my God, you know, this could be truly like a really, really big deal if this is true, if this is legit. And I've come to realize that it is. But so that was really exciting. And then the fact that I hopped in. And, you know, I love making YouTube. I feel like I'm similar to you. I like making, you know, YouTube content and talking and interfacing with people and writing and all of that stuff. I'm really big on the communications part. I lack a little bit on the marketing side, although I've gotten a lot better at it in the last 14 months. But yeah, it felt like a really good fit to kind of do some of the things I like to do from that journalism side, but also move into a more entrepreneurial space. And, you know, it's fun when you see those sales coming in and happy customers and good reviews, and it really keeps you going.
Absolutely. And yeah, and that's one of the things that's kind of drawn me to this is that it's nice if you can actually make a living and do good by people. And so I think that, and I think also it's a fun time for supplements, health and wellness, all of it, just because people are realizing that you got the work of David Sinclair, you've got the work of Joel Green, realizing, you know, Peter Attia, what he's talking with longevity, it's not just about extending life, it's about extending healthy life. And as David Sinclair, I think probably better than anybody, brought to the forefront of, if we will start treating age as a disease, like we would a disease, as opposed to just waiting for all of the cancers and the heart conditions and the things that come with, you know, older age, and then treat those, we'd be better off. And so with that, I think that's a perfect tee up for what are HMOs. They're not a health, they are a health management organization, but folks, that's not what we're talking about today, because I got to believe that there are going to be thousands of people that listen to this podcast and they're going to be like, what is this? Why is this such a big deal that Jason's so excited that he's jumping to the founder of a company that makes this stuff? He's got Joel Green. So let's talk about HMOs, why they are important, what they are, and why they're important to your gut.
Yeah, for sure. So HMO stands for human milk oligosaccharide. I've heard people pronounce that different ways, but that's the way I say it. And so it is a compound that is found naturally. It's naturally occurring in human breast milk, as the title sort of suggests. And it was really first discovered around the late 1800s, early 1900s. And so originally, basically, you know, scientists, pediatricians were sort of working in concert to try to figure out why there were so many problems with infant mortality and other, you know, sort of gastrointestinal issues with infants at a really young age. And so, you know, they sort of eventually through experimentation realized that, okay, we think it's the breast milk, you know, that the breastfed babies are doing better than those that are not breastfed. And that gets into, you know, these days, a little bit of controversy there, but, you know, 120 years ago, that was a pretty key fact there. But then the question became, what is it in the breast milk that is the key factor, right? You know, is it the protein? Sure. Is it the fat? You know, is it the lipids? Is it the lactose? Is it something else? And so eventually the key discovery was that they discovered what they, I believe, first called bifidus factor at the time, which was, you know, modern day HMO as we know it. And so this was a complex sugar molecule, basically a milk sugar in the milk, and they were able to sort of isolate it. And then through the subsequent decades, realized that there were somewhere in the neighborhood of 130. I mean, the estimates vary, but at least over 100, possibly up to 200 different subtypes or varieties of HMO with these very, you know, complex names that are scientific, like 2-fucosylactose, which is the main, most abundant one and the one that's in the majority of our products, but there's about 200 of them. And so other ones are LNNT, which is lacto-N-neotetrose, which is in our kids product. And so there's a bunch of varieties and they all sort of have different health benefits that they, you know, are really heavier on, whether it's cognitive or digestive or immunity. But anyway, so they, you know, started researching the hell out of these things. They're like, wow, this is really amazing, you know, that we've discovered this. Eventually they kind of changed the name to gynolactose is what they started calling it instead of bifidus factor. And then later on, they kind of came up with the name human milk oligosaccharide. So that takes us up into like, you know, the 1970s, I believe, or 50s, between the 50s and 70s.
So now is this a good product for, I mean, you mentioned it, you know, sometimes these days, whether to breastfeed or not to breastfeed can be controversial. For that mother that decides not to breastfeed, should they be giving their child HMO in the formula? There are some baby formulas that actually have it. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. And that's an absolutely perfect segue into the continuation of the HMO story. So, you know, the $1 million question here is like, okay, wait a minute. So, you know, our company, are we selling human milk, you know, actual powdered human milk? And the answer is no, you know, we are not. So our products don't contain any actual human milk. And the, you know, the subsequent question to that is, well, then how do you make it? How are you calling it HMO? And so our product is what's called a HIMO technically, which is human identical milk oligosaccharide, or it's molecularly bioidentical to, you know, the molecule that you would find in human milk, you know, the HMO molecules, specifically 2-fucosylactose. And so to get back to your question, if you, you know, are unable to breastfeed or don't want to breastfeed or whatever, yeah, I mean, I would say it's a good idea. You know, you should talk to your doctor, but I would say it's a good idea to try one of the formulas that have HMO in them. And so that was really the big breakthrough, is that from like the 70s up to really like 2010, scientists were furiously working on a way to replicate HMO because, you know, okay, you recognize that it's like this liquid gold for, you know, building the infant gut from scratch, for modulating the infant gut, building the immune system, basically the architect of the gut and the bacteria and the immune system in infants. So if we could make this, you know, for adults, for kids who can't breastfeed, you could help the world, you know, be healthier and you can make a lot of money probably, but they couldn't do that. You know, you couldn't provide human milk at scale, of course. So they were working on synthesizing it and eventually they did, they succeeded in labs across the world. And there's a couple different ways to do it, but, you know, basically you're taking lactose and you're kind of like culturing it and growing a bacteria on it intentionally, sometimes even evil sounding bacteria like E. coli, which sounded horrible and dangerous, but it's all under supervision and you're fermenting it in a very specific, precise way and arriving at something that when it's like a powder and when you put it under the microscope, it would look identical to the same molecules that are in human milk, HMO. And so that's, you know, kind of how it started in baby formulas once they, basically were experts in synthesizing it. And that was around 2017. So pretty recent, actually. And thankfully, you know, our co-founder, Jason, started reading some research papers on this around 2016, 2017, saw they were testing it on adults preliminarily and decided let's, you know, put his foot on the gas pedal and try to formulate a version, find the proper supplier, research it, formulate it for adults. And so that's what he did.
I wonder, and you probably know this since you're in the actual space, you hear all these crazy stories about people having these, you know, placenta parties and stuff like that. Are there like some uber wealthy people out there, you know, buying, they're just like, okay, well, if I've got to have HMO, I've got to have the best. And they're actually buying real breast milk. I guarantee there's got to be some high end market out there where that's going on.
Yeah. I mean, there actually is, there's people who, I mean, for a while, like bodybuilders were buying it for, I believe they were trying to, but kind of for a different reason. They were trying to get like the IgG, like the immunoglobulin G, I think that was in it. And, sort of like the colostrum impact of it, you know, basically for like believing it would spur, kind of like human growth and things of that nature. So sort of a different reason, but actually, you know, really at the forefront of this, people like Joel Green, I mean, before our company existed and some of the other competitors now, he was telling people just drink baby formula, that has HMO in it, you know, cause if you could walk through your grocery store now, a lot of people don't realize this, but you know, half the formulas now say HMO right on the front of it, which is a big testament to it, I think. Before, you know, we existed, you pretty much had to go out and buy baby formula and drink that. And, you know, there's a lot of fillers in there that aren't really meant for adults. So it was not a perfect solution, but that was the way to get HMO other than human breast milk, which can be hard to come by.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that, and this is, you know, look, this is, I'm interviewing you because I'm curious. I thought you'd make a great guest. This is not to, as a promotion, but I'll tell you, that's why I went to your company, because I did go and I thought, well, I think I heard Joel on Ben Greenfield talking about HMO, and Ben mentioned that you could go find baby formula with it in there. So we have a really great, high-end, kind of more organic type store, couple of them here in town that I went to, and I couldn't find any that had pure HMO. So that's whenever I did my research and I found you guys. And so that's why I'm buying your product. Now, my question is this. So is there a significant delta between what Jason is producing in the laboratory that you guys are producing and the actual mother's milk? Or is it so close that as far as the actual bifidobacteria benefit that comes from the formula that it's really, it's you're just as well off, and obviously it's probably a lot more economical to buy your product?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic question. And that really dives down into the details of it. And I can answer that. So, you know, basically, you know, we're starting with lactose from bovine milk, actually, you know, from cow's milk. And so that's kind of there are sugars, right, and carbohydrate molecules in cow's milk, you know, and they have colostrum and things of that nature. And so it's like a cousin, you know, almost as a way to think about it, of the HMO in human breast milk. And so that's our starting point. So we're starting with something that's, you know, in the kind of same Venn diagram there of that sort of, you know, complex sugar molecule. But then, you know, like I said, you're applying a process to it where you're sort of bringing up, you know, a specific bacteria like E. coli or something like that, and then putting it through this, you know, well-researched fermentation process. And like I said, what you arrive at is molecularly identical, but then the question becomes, okay, so like, does it actually work? You know, does it have the same results as the real McCoy, you know, the human breast milk? And according to the research, it does. And so, you know, they've spent 100 years testing the real HMO on infants and then more recently adults. But then the last like 5 years, they've been running these tests since around 2016, testing, you know, something like our product, you know, a synthetic, your replica HMO on adults, and it's been proven to work, you know. And so in this, you know, probably the best study is out of University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and they're, you know, giving it to people with symptoms of IBS or IBS, who confirmed IBS patients, and finding that over the course of like, I think it was either 4 or 12 weeks, you know, all of those symptoms were reduced. So in that sense, you know, it's clinically proven, you know, that was a clinical study. There's also a lot of studies and trials in Europe and Denmark and in Sweden and places like that. So, yeah. So, I mean, basically, you know, I mean, look, if you had to go head to head, you know, might it be better to have actual human milk? Probably, because you're going to get more of a variety of types of HMO in the real thing. Yep. But, you know, good luck. And, you know, it might be difficult to get that for the next 10 years if you want to take it consistently.
One of the things I want to touch back on that you just said there, you said IBS. Now, are you talking about inflamed bowel syndrome or irritable? Because I know a lot of people hear IBS, they only know irritable. They don't understand that there's an inflamed, there's something different.
I'm referring to the irritable. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The different types of it, you know, IBS, C and D, you know, the different types. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So now let's get into this whole bifidobacteria growth. And for the listener, and again, I'm talking to the expert. This is the guy, you know, Jason's just the guy that kind of does the research and geeks out on this stuff. You have bacteria in your gut that you actually want to try to grow at the very, very lay level. That's how a lot of yogurts get pushed. They say that it grows the good bacteria, live and active cultures. So the thing that I think is really important about HMO and what you guys are doing and this bifidobacteria that we're trying to grow is that it can really contribute to your a powerful immunity system, which a lot of people don't realize. They don't think of immunity starting in their gut. They just think vitamin C, exercise, and all that's great. For sure. But it all starts with having that strong gut microbiome, which is basically, right, just the ecosystem where the bacteria is going to grow. And this HMO really targets the immunity of that. Am I right on that? Because that was literally just kind of, again, the lay guy trying to figure this all out. Did I
do it? No, yeah. Yeah, no, that's excellent. And, you know, I mean, honestly, like I talked about, I was kind of one of those like bro science people for a long time who, you know, took my whey protein, my pre-workout, the basics, you know, my vitamin C, my multi and fish oil. And that was about it. But honestly, I mean, you know, coming, you know, the course of my life took and landing here feels, you know, like a really, serendipitous thing that I'm really grateful for, because it almost feels like getting like a insider stock tip or something. Absolutely. But on health, you know, but for my health, because, you know, I take HMO now and, it's something that I feel like is life-changing just getting into this space and realizing, I mean, so for example, I thought that immunity, like you said, was like taking vitamin C, you know, maybe eating some probiotic yogurt or kombucha every once in a while, chicken soup when you're sick, you know, lots of water. I mean, you know, zinc, whatever might work, but, you know, the mind-blowing, you know, realization, I think once you really understand it, is that, you know, 70 up to 80% of the immune system is basically modulated or housed in the gut microbiome, and it's not too late. So even if you've taken a lot of antibiotics or you're over 50 or what have you, it's absolutely not too late. In fact, Joel Green is a big proponent of you can change your gut bacteria environment in a matter of days, if not, you know, weeks, but, so it's very powerful. And that's a very powerful realization that, you know, you can change that environment and it'll have tangible effects on the way you actually live day to day, week to week, month to month, and even year to year, maybe how long you live. And also that it's not too late. You know, I think a lot of people think, well, you know, but I already have this gut or I already have whatever. I don't have enough time, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, you can do it through food. I mean, you don't have to buy our supplements. You can honestly do it through food. That's probably, you know, the most cost-effective way to do it. Maybe more time consuming, but you can definitely do it through food. And yeah, I mean, that's just a gigantic realization for people. And, you know, we would love if more people realize this. And, you know, for me, it took until, you know, certainly after age 30 to come on board with this and realize how powerful it is. And so just to wrap up, it's like you said, I mean, basically, you know, so many people don't even know what a prebiotic is. And so we've heard probiotic for the last 20 years to the point where it's now very saturated. You know, it's at every Walgreens and Rite Aid and CVS in the country. But prebiotics are just kind of making a name for themselves right now, which is funny. But, you know, prebiotics are the food for probiotic bacteria. And so prebiotic is basically a fiber and it's indigestible. So that's the way HMO works. It actually has no nutritional value for the baby. It has no nutritional value for an adult. It's basically has zero calories. But you're swallowing it, it's going into your system, going down into lower intestine. And what it is feeding is your probiotic bacteria. And so that's kind of right there, a mindset shift in and of itself, which is that you can be feeding something in your body that's not you per se. Yeah. Which is like really hard for a lot of people to wrap their head around, but you know, your gut, there's more gut bacteria DNA, you know, more bacteria DNA in you than like human DNA. It's kind of weird, but there's more bacteria in us. And, you're basically doing there's, you know, it's even like Joel Green talks about, like, if you eat a baked potato that's piping hot with butter on it, that's feeding you. If you eat a cold baked potato, that actually feeds your gut bacteria. It turns it, you know, it modulates how it's a resistant starch. And so that stuff is just mind blowing for people. And it also affects, you know, so you're like, why should I care? Well, it affects whether you're going to put on weight from it, you know, whether you're going to get fat from it basically, and whether it's going to spike your blood sugar. So it really matters. And anyway, you know, it gets into some complex stuff, but yeah, I mean, you take any prebiotic, whether you're talking about, you know, kimchi or, you know, what have you, or something, you know, chicory root or HMO, for example, or some of these other prebiotic supplements, and it's a fiber. So it goes down into your lower intestines. It doesn't feed you. It feeds your gut bacteria, your bifidobacteria, your Acromantia mucinophila. And it's really important to feed those. Then you're going to have this chain reaction where the byproduct of that is going to create short chain fatty acids. So you have acetate, propionate, and butyrate, which is actually the least abundant of them, but probably the most important. And butyrate has, I mean, it sounds like false claims, but I'll tell you, you know, the research is there. Butyrate has basically been shown to stabilize blood sugar levels, protect the brain from various diseases like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, protect against cancer, and prevent obesity. Sounds like a wonder ingredient there, or wonder, you know, bacteria. But and so you're basically going to be generating and creating butyrate. And the trick is that, like, butyrate is actually named after butter in some way, like the prefix there. But you can't just like eat butter. You can't just take a butyrate supplement. It doesn't work that way. It's one thing that you really have to feed through either food, which is great. Like a, you know, semi-green banana will help feed bifidobacteria, or as Joel Green likes to say, the, you know, the red apple skins or apple peels, or HMO is really great at it. So, it's not something you can just like, you can't just eat butyrate. You have to eat foods that will initiate this process that will lead to butyrate production.
Well, and one of the things that you said that is, I want to just come behind and reinforce is that, like, and I had this conversation with Dr. Marvin Singh, who said, you know, DNA, you can't change your, you know, unless, I mean, one day we will probably be able to kind of restructure our DNA, but right now your DNA is what it is. But that gut microbiome, you can, there's actually testing, and like his deal is he does precision medicine, and I think he calls it precisionomics, where it's like, okay, find out for Bo what your, you know, your gut biome, what it looks like right now. And you may have advantages that I don't have, and I might have advantages you don't have, but we find out what it is and then rearrange the furniture in there. Rearrange the, you know, if your garden that is your gut lining is growing way too much kale and not nearly enough spinach, you can feed the soil so that it grows what it's supposed to. And I think that's, I'm glad you said that, because I don't think people realize that you can do so much of this through just what you eat and the impact it has on your overall, you mentioned it earlier, your cognitive health. We have more neurotransmitters in our gut than we do our brain, and the two work together. Now that they're finding that there are multiple biomes, these ecosystems throughout our body, but you know, if Rome were still the capital of your stomach, it would be the gut. And then all the outposts would be the other biomes. And so I just came back from a trip with my mom and dad. And my mom, she suffered a stroke 2 years ago, has had a profound impact on her, as you might imagine. My dad, he lost his eyesight starting at 39. Now he's completely legally blind. He only has peripheral vision due to macular degeneration. And I, just traveling with them, I started talking about some of this stuff, and I'm excited to let them know, because you mentioned it. It's not too late. You can always kind of, you know, well, Marvin Singh, who I mentioned, he wrote a book that we're going to be talking about in our next conversation called Rescuing Your Health, or Rescue Your Health. You can go and change the dynamics, and it starts in the gut. So that's why I was so excited to talk to you today about gut health and what it means, and how HMO and the whole, and you're right, the prebiotic, which again, I knew nothing about prebiotics until recently, which led me down this path. So tell us a little bit about, now that you're in the space, what are you doing? Like, kind of like, what's your protocol for your daily habits? Do you follow Joel's two-day core kind of eating regimen? I mean, what does that look like? And then kind of describe it to the listener the way he does, in that you did touch on it. It's not just about feeding you, like I'm hungry, I must eat, or I'm on a keto diet, so I'm going to eat high fat, low carbs. It's about feeding yourself internally to do things that is not just to satisfy hunger necessarily. So what's your personal protocol that you've adopted, Bo?
Yeah, sure. So I have to preface this by saying that, you know, willpower is a real thing. And so, you know, if I'm being transparent, lately my willpower has been lacking a little bit, you know, and like Joel Green says, you know, in life you run out of time sometimes and you're not on your A game. So I've been a little bit off lately, but what I will say is that, you know, I mean, I try to, you know, eat as healthy as possible. And I really try to integrate a lot of his protocols and things that our scientists here, you know, recommend into my daily diet, and try to do that as much as possible. So, the first time I ever did the sort of like the apple peels and HMO protocol was, back in, I think, January for the first time, actually, which is a little late. I hadn't done the full protocol before, but so I did it then. And I was really amazed that, you know, I mean, very few times in life, you know, I mean, I've been taking probiotics for years, and I will say I'm the first one to admit that, like, I really didn't know which one to buy. You know, you go into the store and you're like, how do you have any idea? I mean, you know, CFU, colony forming units, how many do you need? How many strains do you need? What strains do you need? You know, what brand is trustworthy? Does it need to be cold? Does it need, you know, does room temperature, is that okay? No one knows. Very few people, I would say less than 1%, know the answer. So really we're just like blindfolded, throwing a dart at a wall and just saying, well, this is a cool package. It seems scientific and trustworthy. Great. It's kind of expensive. You know, it must be better. And so that's a real problem. But I pretty much stopped taking probiotics. I pretty much just take HMO now. And, internally, our scientists echo what Joel Green says, which is that that's, for most people, pretty much what you need to do. You don't need to just kind of randomly take a probiotic. You need to just feed selectively your bifidobacteria and the Acromantia mucinophila. There are some, you know, cases where people might, you know, take a microbiome test and realize, okay, I need more, you know, lactobacillus or whatever, and need to take a probiotic with that, or, you know, certain strains. But yeah, getting back to your question. So, you know, I had a great time. You know, I've now done the apple peel protocol several times. I'm doing it again now. It's a little funky when you're sitting there in your kitchen cutting these apple peels in the morning. And my wife was like, thought I was insane the first time I did it, 'cause I had all these apples on the counter, and she was like, are you just going to throw those away now? And I was like, I don't know. I followed that. I bought some, you know, we don't currently make a red phenol powder, polyphenol powder. So I just bought some at a local. Yeah. I bought some at a local store. I mean, we have a beetroot powder, which just came out, that we just released, you know, which you're going to get a little of that same benefit, but it's not exactly the same thing. So I've just bought a powder at a local store. I forget what brand, it's like Country Made or something like that. And of course I'm taking our Layer Origin HMO. I've actually only done the capsules so far, but, I would like to try the powder. For me, I'm just like sometimes a little lazy. Yeah, there's the powder right there. I have some in front of me as well there. But for me, like popping the capsules with water was sort of faster. But once I get back into my sort of like protein shake routine, I'll probably go with the powder. But my diet, I mean, is really, you know, I start the day with some cold water. That's like really important to me. I'm very big on filtered water, you know, with proper filtration. Used to live in the city where there was actually a literal lead problem in the water. So that really scared me. I really wanted to make sure the water is no lead and, you know, properly filtered. So we have one of those UV filters and things like that. So yeah, I mean, just some cold filtered water, about 8 to 10 ounces, is really important to me to like start the day that way to hydrate. Currently I'm not doing caffeine. I stopped it for the most part. For me personally, I found that it just created a lot of issues. I was basically addicted to it. I would just have so much, a lot of cold brew, which is like higher in caffeine content, and just to the point where it just wasn't healthy. And then I kind of got into that energy drink thing. That stuff's not very good for you. So, it was more of an addiction. So I've kind of just stopped it cold turkey. I'll cycle through. Sometimes I'll go back on, you know, just a black coffee, an organic black coffee for a while. But, right now I'm pretty much all the way off caffeine. I have tried that mud water, which is a good product. I don't really
tell me about it. I've seen it on Instagram popping up everywhere. And a buddy of mine, Rogers Healy, who's been on the program before, he drinks mud water. Tell me, but it's like a cold brew, but it does have caffeine, right? or no?
Yeah. I love the concept behind it. And the founder story is very compelling. A guy out in California who, you know, similar to me, basically says he was like pretty much addicted to caffeine. It was making him jittery, kind of shortness of breath, just really weird stuff. You know, these crashes where he'd be really tired. And so that's why he created it. And so he had spent some time in India. And so we kind of modeled it after like masala chai, if you're familiar with that. You get it like an Indian restaurant or something. And so it has all these spices and herbs in it and things like that. But basically, you know, one scoop of this mud water, as he calls it, is 1/7 the amount of caffeine you'd have in a cup of coffee.
Got it.
So it's a lot less. And then he basically throws in a bunch of these adaptogens and great mushrooms like chaga and reishi and lion's mane and, you know, kind of like four sigmatic.
That's my thing. Of course, I'm not as good as you, Bo. I have coffee that I order by the 5-pound bag from Brooklyn, New York. It's Old Brooklyn. It's their darkest roast. So that stuff, you can run a car on it, I think, maybe even an airplane. And then I will put some four sigmatic with lion's mane in that. It's a wonder my hair's not standing on end every morning, but whatever.
Hey, more power to you. I mean, it, you know, everyone's body's different. For me, I found that I was kind of using it as like an artificial, you know, like a crutch sort of, you know, so sure. It's like, I felt like I never knew my true energy level because I was always, you know, pushing through that tiredness. So I wanted to get back to equilibrium and feel like, am I actually tired or am I not? You know, if I am, let me drink some water, have some fresh greens, sleep more this night, and just try to get back to equilibrium instead of like artificially, you know, kind of like rebooting my body every day. But, you know, to each their own. And I'll probably end up drinking caffeine again. There's definitely some benefits as well, you know, for the brain and things like that. So, but back on topic, you know, for breakfast, I'm either doing egg whites with like maybe a little very thin layer of pesto on them in the morning. Big, you know, avocado person. Other days I'll just do like a steel cut oatmeal with a very small amount of honey. And definitely some like walnuts on them or blueberries, fresh blueberries. So I try to do that for breakfast. You know, occasionally I'll do a little bit of intermittent fasting and skip breakfast and just not eat until, you know, 2 p.m., something like that. And I feel like mixing that in, I feel pretty good, actually. Although I will say coffee definitely helps when you're intermittent fasting, for sure.
Yeah. And I want to like I've got a cup of green tea here that I was working on right before we got on, and I want to like green tea. I just don't. I drink it purely because it's good for me, and I don't want to drink coffee all day. I mean, sometimes I'll have some in the afternoon. My wife and I will have like a cup around 3 o'clock, but then that's it. But usually I don't enjoy that as much as that morning cup and I'm done. And so I've tried to drink more green tea just because it has so many benefits, but I just can't make myself like it that much. But you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, no.
And so let me ask you this, because you're a journalist, now you're an entrepreneur. I love to learn about the habits beyond dieting. So tell me about reading. And you mentioned some of the podcasts. It sounds like you and I have kind of swim in the same suit, man. I mean, Tim Ferriss was the muse for this podcast. It was the first podcast I ever listened to. I remember I'd read the 4-Hour Work Week, and then I don't even know what a podcast is at the time. It must have been like 10 years ago. And I look, I say, oh, I recognize that's the guy that wrote that book. I will listen to his podcast, whatever that is. I've heard about them. So the Tim Ferriss Show was the very first podcast I ever downloaded. And so whenever I re-released a book that I'd written in 2010, and I wanted to build an audience for it. So I told my editor, I said, well, I want to start a podcast. And it was kind of like the Texas version of the Tim Ferriss Show, where I interviewed, you know, peak performers from the Lone Star State called Texas Titans. And then the audience kept getting more and more broad. The guests that were reaching out to come on were more broad. So that's how it became reluctantly the Jason Wright Show, real original title, I know, but I owe so much of what I'm doing now to Tim Ferriss taking the risks he did. So after that whole soliloquy, what about you? What other podcasts do you listen to? What are you reading? How do you keep sharp? What are your protocols in that regard?
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, there's a lot of people I sort of look up to, and I think you're right. We probably kind of swim in the same circles of our media diet. Tim Ferriss was also a big inspiration for me as well. You know, I read the 4-Hour Work Week a long time ago, read the 4-Hour Body as well. So it's kind of when I started biohacking, you know, in 2010, around then personally, taking like alpha lipoic acid and stuff before meals. And, you know, frankly, I mean, at one point I did lose like 25 pounds on the slow carb diet. So I'm a big fan of that diet, honestly, and always talk to my wife about it. You know, it's a great way to like lose weight in a healthy way quickly. But yeah, so I mean, you know, similar to you, you know, Tim Ferriss Show was one of the first podcasts I really got into. Used to listen to the Joe Rogan podcast a little bit, but Tim Ferriss is really where it's at. I mean, I still listen to it from time to time. Just fantastic guests and, you know, some really like actionable content on there that is really like inspiring. Every time I listen to it, I come out of it thinking like, I need to write a book or I need to, you know, start a podcast. And really he was the inspiration for me starting a podcast as well, which is now kind of dormant, but, really niched down with it. And it's really just interviews with fellow journalists. And so that's really all it was, mostly just local TV journalists, who I interviewed. And so
I encourage you to pick that up. Whenever I was researching for this, that's an excellent idea to ask the questioners questions. You know, I mean, if there was something, it's a great concept, dude. And I encourage you to do that. I think, and especially if you focus on I'm sorry to turn this into a coaching session. I will shut up, but I just think you've got a great idea, man. I think that in talking to these up and coming local reporters, because you touched on it before we got in, I had the exact same conversation with my daughter. I told her, you know, I'm older than you. I said, when you came out whenever I was coming out of undergrad as a journalism major, Tyler, Texas would be like a decent sized market. You're probably going to start at the radio station in my hometown of Sulphur Springs, population 15,000, and hope to get to Tyler, then hope to get to Amarillo, then hope to get to San Antonio. And it's just now with social media, you can build your content so fast. And I think that kind of where you are, because you were just on the, you were, you know, behind me, but just on the edge of getting to see that Rubicon of, you know, crossing from traditional journalism into social media. And then as an encouragement to these up and comers, I just wanted to tell you, I was going to mention it anyway later, that I think that's a cool concept. So just some encouragement, brother. I think you've got a great show there if you ever pursue it. And if anything I can do to push you along, man, I want to do that.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot. I mean, I definitely could use that encouragement. I think I did 29 episodes and then like, you know, kind of went dark, in February, or at least, you know, took a break, but, been meaning to revive that. You know, life gets crazy, and I've kind of prioritized Layer Origin Nutrition, my main career here. But no, I mean, I definitely would love to pick it back up. So the good thing is it's kind of evergreen. You can always just dive right back in. But yeah, I need a little more consistency, which is tough. You know, there's a podcast graveyard out there of everybody who wants to start one and then only does two episodes and stops. So
you want to hear a crazy statistic, Bo. So a buddy of mine, a guy named James Quandall, who I met through the James Altucher Show, it's a really cool story. He told me, because he just started his podcast and he's a lot smarter than I am. He actually does research and stuff. I just do stuff. And he said that of all the podcasts that are out there, now there's hundreds of thousands, right? Only 10% of all podcasts have over 100 episodes. And of those 10% that have at least 100 episodes, I can't remember the exact number. I won't even quote. It's a very tiny fragment of them have produced a new episode within the previous 3 months. So, and as you look, so we mentioned, if you look at Tim Ferriss, Joe Rogan, Ryan Holiday, James Altucher, all the people that kind of are like, again, guys like us, people that listen to this podcast, all the names that we know, they've all been at it for almost 10 years. And it's just consistency, just sticking it out. And so, you know, I just crossed over to, I think you will probably be, by the time this airs, like episode 105 or 106. And so I'm like, okay, whew, that seems to be, and now the momentum is building. So hopefully we'll look back and we'll be back on 10 years and, you know, Layer will be like just this monster company, and we're like Tim Ferriss and Kevin Rose having our random show. That's what I'm going to set that for both of us.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Well, congratulations on hitting 100 episodes, and yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that speaks to a lot of what life is like. I mean, you have to put in the reps, you know, and so, you know, as you talked about with my media diet, you know, I'm a fan of James Clear, you know, Atomic Habits, the book. Yes. And actually someone who I found out about on Tim Ferriss's podcast, Derek Sivers. I don't know if you've ever heard his episodes or, but you know, there's
Derek Sivers. Do you think he actually talks like that in just a normal conversation? He always sounds like he's narrating a book. Well, here's what I did. So it was CD Baby. I thought, oh my gosh, I could do this. I'm like, that dude just has the most soothing, you know, like wow, does he always talk to just narrating a book? But absolutely. He's all, I've heard that episode. It's awesome.
Yeah. That is an incredible impression of him, actually. That's spot on.
Useless talent. Yeah.
So he later revealed that he basically deeply rehearses for every guest appearance he does. You know, he just spends a meticulous amount of time, and he does ask for the questions in advance, and he prepares. I didn't prepare for this, you know, but he actually like prepares deeply and pretty much like memorizes his answers. And I think that's why they sound so perfect, but they don't sound rehearsed. And
no,
you know, that's actually a concept he taught me called like sprezzatura, is a word in Italian, which means, you know, like you, it appears like you tried, you know, you're doing something effortlessly, but the truth is that you actually put in a ton of work, you know, kind of behind the scenes, kind of like a duck, you know, that's paddling furiously underwater, but sailing smoothly on the top. But no, I mean, so, you know, after hearing his episode, I don't usually do this, but I kind of like dove deep into his content. And I mean, he's almost been more life-changing for me than Tim Ferriss. I mean, his stuff is really good. I mean, the way that he approaches life, entrepreneurship, just deep stuff. I mean, that really was like, made me think. I've now like listened to his podcast a number of times. His is weird. He has like a podcast that he put out where he does these like very strange, these little like 2 minute chunks. Uh-huh. They're like 2 minute chapters that, that Sivers narrates. And then like a year later, what he did was he went on a spree of guesting on people's, you know, being a guest on people's podcast. And then, with the condition that they allow him to repost it on his podcast, you know, basically as his own podcast, which was a little confusing, but there's like some great nuggets in there. And I pretty much listened to all of them, even though it's a little bit repetitive, but he is like flat out amazing. So yeah, I mean, he's a big like inspiration. I've ordered hard copies of all of his books now to give away to friends and things like that. But yeah, I mean, I definitely like those deep thinkers, you know, people who think big, people who, are willing to admit they're wrong and, you know, look for different ways to do things, different answers. And also how to optimize. And then also people who like aren't just about like making as much money as possible in life. Right, you know, it's bigger than that. And, you know, Tim Ferriss has definitely done well for himself, but, you know, he also has efforts to, I mean, he's, you know, you think about the amount of people he's helped. It's crazy.
Right.
Just mindset and things like that. So,
well, Derek Sivers gave his money away, right? I mean, he had his big equity event with CD Baby and he gave it away. He kept enough to live off of. And then that's pretty awesome, man. I love that.
Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, listening to podcasts like that and the Derek Sivers story of giving away $28 million and keeping just enough to pretty much like live comfortably off of, that was really inspiring for me. You know, and it's very scary to leave something you're comfortable doing. And for me, that was journalism, you know, since I was basically 18 years old in college. And I made that leap, you know, a couple of years ago, and it's tough sometimes, you know, sometimes I miss it, but you know, you find other outlets like podcasting or YouTube videos or things like that. And, you know, the Derek Sivers story is very inspiring to me, you know, about taking risks and just, thinking about more than, you know, your comfort zone and making money and things like that.
I'm so glad to hear you say those things. You know, I've got two daughters that are college age. One's a junior at CU Boulder. The other is a senior at Alabama, and they're trying to figure out, okay, what's the next chapter? And I tell them, I'm like, you know, look, find something. It's not just about finding something you're passionate about. It's finding something you can do well at, but don't focus on the money, you know, focus on creating. And I think that that's, I really, you know, kudos to you, man, for having the courage to just make the switch, but also the courage to admit to yourself what you really should be doing. And you haven't had to give it completely up. I told my mom and dad again. So my mom is, you know, obviously very limited in her mobility and whatever. And she loves to write. She loves to tell stories. I said, start a blog, mom. She's like, well, who would read it? I said, who gives a damn? Who cares? Who cares if no one but the family reads it? The point is, it's like mowing a yard. You step back, you look at it, and you did that. It's beautiful. You know, nobody, and if it's your own, nobody paid you to do it. Go write some, go create something, go build something where there's not somebody saying, oh, good job, whether it's good or not. No, you can determine for yourself. I am proud of this. I created this. And so, man, I really, I honor you for taking that leap. And also I'm a little jealous. I mean, you're in the health and wellness space. I get to talk to people like you in the space. I would love to figure out a way to do more. And that's kind of what I want to do because it's where my passions lie. I do think I can benefit others along the way. So, man, I think your story is awesome. Before I let you go, though, I do have to know, okay, so we've got Christmas coming up, and if I happen to make your list and you were going to give me three books, what books? Yeah, as you see behind me, this is just one of my smaller bookshelves, man. I try to read at least one book a week. And to our point earlier, I do a review over every book I read per week on my YouTube channel. Some of them, one I did has like 450 views. Some of them have like 3 views. I don't care. Again, it's the creation of it. So that's a lot of fun. But what would you do? What books would you recommend to me or gift me for Christmas?
I'm going to struggle to come up with 3, just because I'm not sure, but, I would say, number one that comes to mind, and this is a little repetitive, but I would actually go with, the book, Anything. It's called Anything You Want, by Derek Sivers.
I haven't read that one. Okay. Boom.
Yeah. It's great. It's really short. It actually has a few illustrations and, who was it? Seth Godin had started a publishing company and said like, Derek, will you write a book for me? And he was like, all right, fine. So it's kind of like a blog post in a book, but it's really good, especially anybody who's interested in like entrepreneurship or anything like that. And he really simplifies things, right? You know, he talks about the story of founding his company CD Baby, which, he sold for a lot of money, but it was as simple as like, you know, okay, I want to, allow people to put their, their CD for sale online. That was the concept of the business. And basically just looking at like, he really boils it down to the fundamental principles of business, doesn't overcomplicate it. And I feel like so many things these days get overcomplicated. That's the reason why so many people don't start a podcast or start a business, because they're like, oh, I don't know what microphone to use, or I don't know where to host it. It's like, it doesn't matter. Just start. And that's one of the biggest things I've taken the last like 5 years of my life is like, just start. If you don't start, you'll probably never start. And the time will fly by, it'll fly by either way. So you'll be happy that you started. And even if you screw up completely, then start over and you've learned a big lesson. So, So I would say Anything You Want by Derek Sivers. I would say, other ones, I don't know if there's something else that I like absolutely, love or found life changing. That's coming straight to my mind. I mean, obviously I have a huge bookshelf like you, but I'm struggling to think of like the, maybe books that haven't already been recommended to you.
That's perfect, dude. I'm ordering it right now as we speak.
Excellent. Yeah, for sure. I'll go with The Psychology of Money was good. That was one that I recently finished, which is by, Morgan Housel.
Okay.
Housel. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but that was good. We all, like it or not, we all have to deal with money, and, it's kind of a new take on things in some ways, and a lot of good anecdotal stories in there and just a good perspective on money. So, that was good. The Psychology of Money. And, really, I can't stress enough anything by Derek Sivers. Anything he's written, some other books of his that I own are, what is it called? I have it in like hard copy. He did like a limited release, like signed by the author, but it was like, Hell Yeah or No.
Yes. Which is a great, I love that concept from him.
Which is a great concept.
I've employed that.
Yeah. And he kind of expounded on it in the book. And then he did another one that I think you would actually really like, which is called, Your Music and People, or Your Music and Your People, which I think he has for sale. There's also like an audio book, but it's actually about marketing. It sounds like it's for musicians, but it's actually about marketing, really anything, whether it's your podcast, your business, your life, and a lot of great like wisdom in there. Honestly, very old school, but like if you're someone who somehow missed the boat, 4-Hour Work Week is still a great book,
Still relevant. Absolutely.
He did an updated version, I think around 2011 or something like that. And that's still a fantastic book. I mean, really inspired me in some sense, life optimization and figuring out a way to work remotely if you can, so that you have that flexibility to live where you need to. And I mean, that was very predictive in some ways, right? Because that was very much pre-pandemic. And, nowadays so many people work remotely. We're all on Zoom. And Tim Ferriss was back in 2006 saying, try to figure out a way to work remotely. It's kind of the future, and take mini retirements. Don't wait until you're 65 or 70 to retire. Figure out a way to live a lifestyle that feels like you're kind of taking a mini retirement, once a month or once a quarter, and you'll have a much happier life. And so I'm unfortunately, I don't have anything else off the top of my head, but those are books that I would probably give you.
That is perfect. And hey, man, again, you're kind of crushing it because Tim Ferriss, he started out in the health food space with Brain Quicken, right? Yeah, he was making that was his first big step into entrepreneurship. So, well, Bo, look, man, we have crushed an hour like it was nothing. This has been so fun, man. Thank you so much. Now, I want you, before you go, again, listener, this is the HMO powder that I am using. I'm not a doctor. I only play a podcast host in real life, but this is what I'm using to help feed my bifidobacteria in my gut to build up my immunity, to build a stronger gut, to build a better gut biome. Bo, before I let you go, man, anything else you want to say about the company, other products, anything, and where people can get in touch with you and follow what you guys are doing at Layer Origin or you personally, whatever.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I'm on Instagram, you know, it's at Bo Berman, BEAUBERMAN. Our company's on Instagram, at Layer_Origin. So LAYER_ORIGIN. Our website is, www.layerorigin.com, kind of a weird name, but we're, continuing with it is kind of a backstory to that. But, it is something I encourage people to try. I've sent it to pretty much all of my family members because I believe in it. And the cool thing about it is for most people, not everybody, but most people will notice like a tangible difference in their day-to-day health. So it's not just like your typical supplement where you take it and you're just like kind of mentally hoping like, this is probably doing something good for me. You can actually like see a difference. And so for me, it was kind of gross, but it was noticeable in like stools, actually, like when you go to the bathroom, it looked very different, in a much healthier way. And, also energy levels, which are harder to pinpoint, but just visually just, you know, stools and the way you feel with your digestion, much better. And then you don't even know all the inner workings that are happening, you know, inside your gut microbiome that are occurring. So it's a great way to not just put a Band-Aid on your health, but to actually, you know, change it at the root, and change a lot of the root causes of some of your health outcomes. So yeah, no, we're really big on it. And, we do offer, I believe it's a 90-day money back guarantee. So even if you, order, some of our pure HMO product and you hate it, you just email us or give us a call and, we will promptly refund your money. So really nothing to lose. And, definitely very grateful to you for, reaching out to us and inviting me on the show.
Absolutely, brother. Well, and of course, I'm interviewing a journalist and you would never let this go. So what is the story behind Layer Origin? You said there's a backstory. I got to hear it, man.
Yeah. So as I alluded to earlier in this interview, the founders of the company, Jason and Joel, who, you know, both have their PhD in food science, they were pretty enamored with kind of like a science geek sort of thing with another scientist. Named Dr. Peter Layer. I don't even know how to pronounce it. It might be like Lahr because he's from Germany. Yeah. But it's actually spelled LAYER, who is still a practicing scientist. He's pretty old now, but back in Germany, but he was in the US in the 1980s and he did a lot of fundamental work on blood sugar and glucose and metabolism and really carb blockers using bean protein. Yeah. And so they were very inspired by his research. Like so inspired, you know, that the product that they literally invented or the ingredient, you know, that they patented the process technology for making this carb blocker, which was kind of the original moonshot product idea. They decided to name the company after him, really. So, wow. You know, Dr. Peter Layer, and then he was the origin for the company names. They called it Layer Origin. And unfortunately, it's just like so esoteric that it doesn't exactly roll off the tongue. But you know, since then I've kind of thought about it in a different way and I thought, well, you know, it's okay because, you know, there's different layers to our health. You know, this is a bit of a stretch, but there's layers to our health. You know, we have like our microbiome, we have our mental health, we have our physical health, you know, and then, you know, health originates, the origin is really in the gut, you know, with the immune system and your gut bacteria. So, you know, something to do with origination and layers and all that, but yeah, kind of a weird name. So we're just sticking with it for now. And it doesn't seem to have stopped people from, if you have a good product, you have a good product. So.
Well, and it sounds serious. I think it sounds good. And by the way, I can relate to that in a way. So I saw that you had the Vitruvian Man on your Twitter cover deal, a cover photo. And this was originally going to be called the Vitruvian Project podcast, but no one could remember Vitruvian. Every time I talked to somebody, they're like, what? What? How do you spell that? So while it sounds great, and the muse being, you know, Da Vinci's ideally proportioned man, and that's kind of the whole deal. So I just went with improve always and always, which means keep everything in perfect proportion. But I had to leave out. I still have the Vitruvian Project, which is my YouTube channel where I do the book reviews and all that. But, you know, it's as a marketer, you know, but I like layer origin. I think it sounds serious, you know, and good, you know, like scientific. So I think it's good.
Awesome. No, I love to hear that for sure. Definitely. Yeah, no, I mean, a company, you know, you being a part of a company on the inside is very eye-opening, and it's a lot harder than I thought, but it's also, you know, very gratifying, and, you know, you do what you can. And, you know, we've remade all the labels and logos in the last year and currently rebuilding the website. So a lot of exciting stuff. And, you know, we make everything right here in Ithaca, New York now. So that we had outsourced it before, and now we, you know, have a plant here. So it's pretty interesting stuff. And, yeah, definitely. Thanks again for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Bo. All right. And with that, and by the way, I want to have you back on, and we'll just talk entrepreneurship, because I would love, that's what I do when I'm not doing this. I actually advise companies and do business strategy, and I love to hear entrepreneurial stories. So I'm the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we'll do that again, but sit tight and I'll say goodbye properly in a minute. If you are watching on the YouTube channel, thank you so much for checking out the Jason Wright Show. Please click subscribe and leave some comments. I'm going to have show notes to tell you about the books that we discussed, Bo and I. There will be links all throughout the show notes for their website. I am a recommender of Layer Origin and HMO in general. So you got to protect that gut. Also, if you're listening to the podcast, please consider going out to iTunes and doing a review and leaving us a 5-star rating. That helps more than you know. And with that, I'm Jason Wright. And until I talk to you again, please, whatever you do, always endeavor to improve always in all ways. Thanks so much. I'm out.